Flynn, Episode 1, Overdue Account.
Hi. The name's Flynn. Michael Flynn. Age 30. Red hair. A little too tall. Too thin. And too obvious to be a private investigator, but that's what I am. Maybe not as sharply focused as I should be. But not like a lawyer. Yeah, my parents wanted a hotshot lawyer in the family. But I wanted to do everything at once. University, part-time job, daredevil escapades, and booze. And the old reliable booze. Oh, it took a couple of gut-wrenching shocks to make me realize I had to simplify my life, get out of the fast lane, and take things as they come. That's how I wound up working part-time for old Sam Green and driving him to the airport that night.
You don't know this girl like I do, Flynn. All I told her on the phone was I'd passed a kidney stone. No big deal. Before I know it, she's on a plane. What was she up to?
Hey, Sam, she cares about you. There's nothing strange about that.
No, we aren't that close, believe me. The last 2 years she lived with me was a Punch and Judy show. Now, when she moved to Toronto, I thought I'd die. God to heaven.
You know, it's surprising what punches people's panic buttons. Now, you take Sam Green. He's 70 years old. A lawyer for a good part of that. He's always cool under fire. So then he gets word about a visit from his niece, the girl he raised after his brother and sister-in-law died in a car accident. So suddenly, he's paranoid. How do you figure that?
Remember the caller WP? She's into initials. You know, corporate law, one up and shoot.
Right. Sam, over here. Over here. Uncle Sam.
Oh, Willie, Willie. Oh, gosh, you look wonderful.
Thank you. Oh. But I told you not to meet me. You should be resting.
Oh, look, the stone's gone. Now, believe me, I'm 100%. You know, anyway, I brought Flynn along to handle the luggage. Well, you haven't met, have you? Oh, Willie, this is Flynn.
Hi, Mr. WP, right?
You still have an investigator on the payroll?
Oh, yeah, part-time.
I see. Flynn, two black tweed soft sides. Shouldn't tax your investigative skills.
Right. Back in a minute.
Yeah. I'll take your shoulder back.
Sorry. It's my laptop, computer, and bubble printer. Never leaves my side. Let's go over here and sit down.
I was beginning to see what Sam was worried about. The attitude. A control freak. Fresh out of the corporate rat race. Sharp as a razor, used to running things. And what fooled you was this attitude came wrapped in a fancy package. Short brown hair, full lips, pretty blue eyes, and a curvaceous bod that even the blue pinstripe suit couldn't hide. But despite the sex appeal, I had a nagging feeling that Sam was right. This was a lady with a hidden agenda, you know what I mean? And I got lucky with the bags and started back to where they were seated.
Well, of course I'm going to represent Joey Meyer. He's Carl Meyer's grandson. I helped to get Carl his citizenship in 48.
But Sam, Carl Meyer's been dead for 12 years. You have no obligation.
No obligation? Now, listen, Carl was my client. Now, dead or alive, it's what he would have wanted.
So this is how you're winding down the business? New clients and Flynn still on the payroll?
Yeah. Well, it's going to take time.
I see.
Yeah, but I don't need any help.
Now, that's where you're wrong. Your year end's coming up. That means the Law Society's audit is due. I can run your accounts receivable through my computer and bring everything up to date.
That'll take forever.
No, it won't. It's a snap. I straighten out small businesses like yours all the time. And if it takes a few weeks, no problem.
No problem?
Well, I took a leave of absence. Whatever it takes, I'm here for you, Sam.
Sam's niece was as good as her word. In less than a week, she had everything on her computer. All Sam's billings, appointments, notes. Trouble was, she was the only one who could access it.
Still some receipts missing, Flynn. Look through your pockets again.
Oh, yeah, my expenses. That was in the computer, too.
I have to get get this business tidied up before Sam can walk away from it.
Now, you've got to get an idea of Sam's setup. The law office is on the ground floor of a faded two-story house, the last of its kind, on the south slope overlooking Vancouver's False Creek. Now, Sam's lived upstairs for the past 35 years. He's a few minutes from Erickson's glass-roofed law courts and still a comfortable distance from downtown gridlock, and worth a fortune in today's market. Something else for WP to file in her handy-dandy computer.
These files are a mess. Nothing updated, nothing thrown out. We'll probably have to hire a proper legal secretary to sort things out. Sarah's a sweet old lady, but she's let things go.
So what can I say? Willie was in charge, and Sam wouldn't do anything about it. So I decided to hang out on the Blarney Boy until the smoke cleared. And I live year-round aboard this old sloop my dad left me. And Dad was a stockbroker, perpetual optimist. He died while I was studying law. Heart attack. As one of the shocks I mentioned earlier. It's a lot of unfinished business, you know how it is.
Flynn.
Flynn, we have an emergency. Come now.
What's wrong, Willie?
Please.
Willie!
Her voice was straining for control. She was in real trouble. Now, I don't own a car, and there wasn't time to call a taxi. But I could see Sam's place from the marina. The fastest way up there, under the circumstances, was by bicycle. Mine was on the deck. A 10-speed mountain bike. I prayed the slow leak I'd put off fixing hadn't flattened the front tire. It had. There was a battered red pickup truck parked in front of the steps leading to Sam's office. It looked vaguely familiar. I didn't wait to check it out. With my last bit of strength, I charged up the steps and into the building.
Willie, what's wrong?
Him.
I want Sam Green. Where's the SOB?
Sam has a lot of feisty clients, but Charlie Thomas, a 270-pound native fisherman, probably has the shortest fuse. It was like trying to reason with a grizzly bear. But WP didn't know that. Encouraged by my timely arrival, she decided to put him in his place.
Sam Green.
Look, this is a law office. You can't just burst in here. Put down that stick.
Stick? It's an axe handle, lady. See?
You broke the lamp.
Where's Sam?
Upstairs. I had a headache.
Okay, let me handle it.
You know this maniac?
What did she call me?
Mechanic, she said mechanic. We're expecting another client. So what's the problem, Charlie?
This.
He handed me an official-looking notice stamped overdue account. Sam's name and address were prominently displayed at the top. I suspected it was a recent offering from WP's little bubble printer. I shot a critical glance in her direction.
What are you people up to? Sam Green represents me. And I wind up in the slammer. The bank seizes my boat, so the wife takes the kids back up north. I got nothing. Then, as soon as I'm out, another kick in the ass.
No, it's a clerical error, Charlie. I'm tearing it up.
Hey, wait a minute.
Butt out, Willie. This guy put 3 fisheries inspectors in the hospital. I'm sorry for the mix-up, Charlie.
Yeah. Well, you tell Sam to stay out of my way. He loused up my case, and I owe him plenty. And I don't mean money.
Thank God. You could have got Sam killed, you know that? What are you doing?
I'm phoning the police.
The hell you are.
Hey, what's all the shouting?
A crazy man. Charlie something.
Charlie Thomas.
Oh, boy. What set him off this time?
This.
We sent him a bill.
I was tidying up the accounts receivable. You have no idea how much people owe you.
Charlie had some pretty interesting ideas about how he might pay you back.
Yeah, I'll bet he did.
Okay, so I made a mistake. I'll cancel the invoice. How about lunch on me? Granville Island Wharf?
Both of us?
Yeah, sure. Both of you.
Sam drove us down to the wharf behind the Granville Island Public Market. He parked his 20-year-old Volvo in one of the covered garages. Willie slipped away for a couple of minutes to find a ladies' room. Sam and I got our trays from the food stand. I ordered the most expensive special on the menu. You know, a little payback. Anyway, we were just crossing the wharf to a free table when Sam bumped into a slight balding man with a beard.
Sorry, I didn't see you.
Well, it's quite all right. My fault, really.
Hey, wait a minute. Don't I know you from somewhere?
No, I don't believe so. I'm new to your part of the world.
Well, it's some legal matter, maybe. I'm a lawyer.
I'm afraid not, no.
Well, I'm sorry to bother you.
Oh, no bother. No. Good day.
Could have sworn I met that guy somewhere.
The food was good. But all through lunch, Sam kept coming back to the Englishman he had bumped into. The man was about Sam's age, but judging from his blue blazer and white slacks, he might have been off a visiting yacht. Not quite one of Sam's crowd. More Willie's type. Still, the old man prides himself on his faultless memory. He didn't want to let it go.
A Brit. Voice. Where did I know this guy?
The sun was warm. The air was clean and fresh, funneling in off English Bay. Willie took off her jacket. She looked somehow softer. Less pushy. More West Coast. Maybe not such a bad type after all.
Flynn?
Hmm?
I'd like to see this boat of yours.
It's at the marina. A short walk.
This enough to cover the bill, Uncle Sam?
Hmm? Oh, yeah. I'll get the car and I'll meet you over there.
Sam gave me a funny look as he left for the parking garage. I guess he was surprised, too. It wasn't like her to show a personal interest in the way I lived.
The Blarney Boy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Named after you, was it?
My old man. It was his pride and joy.
I've forgotten most of what I knew about boats.
It's a sloop. Sleeps four, in a pinch. If I stow away things like I should. Here, you can sit in the cockpit.
Sam said he tried to convince you to sell the boat so you could finish your law degree.
Yeah, that's right.
But you gave up on the law.
That was a matter of priorities. Sometimes people try so hard to succeed, they forget how to live. I'll get back to it sometime.
I could never do that.
Sounds like I'm goofing off, right?
No. But walking away from a secure income, pretty scary. I guess it's the orphan child in me. Life's too full of unexpected disasters.
Where was this coming from? I'd never seen her like this. Could I have misread her?
You can see Sam's place from here. Up there, on the slope. Surrounded by ritzy townhouses.
Mm, I see it.
Yeah. It's amazing how he's been able to hang on to that old place. The developers tried everything to buy him out. Mm. Or scare him off.
He ever say anything about selling?
Sam? No.
He's going to die in his bed in that place. I'll take odds on it. Oh, must have been an accident. There's a crowd gathering at the parking...
At the parking garage! Oh, my God!
Stand back, people. Let the paramedics do their job.
Is it Sam?
Yeah, I think so.
No, let me through.
Sorry, lady. You'll have to keep her.
She's with me, Bob. Sam's niece. How bad is he?
Pretty bad, Flynn. Hit and run. He's unconscious.
Any witnesses?
Not so far.
Where are they taking him?
The general. It's closest.
I want to go with him.
Yeah, we'll take Sam's car.
Okay.
As we walked over to the Volvo, I noticed some tire marks on the concrete floor. They were well away from where Sam was hit. And they weren't skid marks where someone had tried to brake suddenly to avoid hitting someone. These were acceleration marks. Someone had burned rubber in a fast start, and the vehicle had been lined up in the lane where Sam had parked his car. Now I was anxious to get to the hospital and get Sam's story. Why would anyone want to set him up? I had a spare key for Sam's car, but I forgot sometimes that wasn't all it took to get it started.
Hurry up! Hurry up!
It's 20 years old. The starter has a mind of its own.
Come on, you stupid car.
I drove WP to Vancouver General. We arrived right behind the ambulance and found a couple of chairs outside the emergency ward. Now and then, the doors opened as a nurse rushed in or out. We got a quick look at Sam lying there. His face was pale as plaster, except for a scarlet bruise on his forehead. Only the pulsing line of the heart monitor indicated he was alive. All we could do was wait.
He just can't die. Not like this. Why don't they do something?
He's stabilized. That's a good sign.
I'm all his family that's left. We were just beginning to work things out. I've got to get some water.
Sam's only next of kin. Right. That thought had occurred to me, too. And other thoughts that I didn't much like thinking. I got up to look for her, and then I heard voices down the corridor.
Could he survive such a thing? He's an old man. It's impossible.
He's in a coma. It's still touch and go.
Willie was talking to the man Sam bumped into at the wharf. They seemed surprised when they saw me.
Flynn, this is Gavin Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah? I was just back to my hotel when I suddenly realized where I'd met Sam at a convention about 10 years ago. I felt so stupid. Well, I guess we both changed a lot.
So you drove back to the wharf on the off chance we'd still be there?
Ah, yes, yes. That's when I heard the bad news. A police detective told me you were all over here at the hospital.
Yeah, I told Mr. Fitzgerald that Sam's still in a coma.
Hit and run, the policeman said. Dreadful.
That's right.
Somebody must have hit him and panicked.
Maybe. Or hit him deliberately.
What?
Maybe somebody wants him dead.
Like who? Wait a minute. Mr. Fitzgerald, when you were driving off the island, did you see anyone in a particular hurry?
Well, a couple of vehicles, but then I'm not used to the traffic. Maybe they just seemed to be...
A red pickup truck?
Charlie Thomas?
You heard him threaten Sam.
There was a red truck.
Oh, my God. You see?
It cut me off at the traffic lights where the causeway joins the shore. Didn't see who was driving, I'm afraid.
Thank you, Mr. Fitzgerald. You've given us a lead.
No, I'm staying at the Holiday Inn on Broadway. Perhaps if I call back...
We'll let you know how Sam's doing.
Thank you. I'll be off then.
Well, if it was Charlie Thomas, he's probably staying with his sister on Renfrew.
So we phone the police.
Not until I check out a few things. Come on, come on. Sam's in good hands.
We're going after that madman? Just the two of us? Oh, I don't believe family members visiting.
What was Willie up to? Inside my head, suspicions were bouncing around like bumper cars. Some I didn't want to believe, but like she said herself, next of kin. She'd invited us to the restaurant. Disappeared for a moment. Why? To tell Gavin Fitzgerald where Sam had parked the car? Then she wanted to see the boat. Left Sam walking to the parking lot by himself. Where Gavin Fitzgerald was waiting? When I reached Renfrew Avenue, I pulled into the lane back at the apartment where Charlie stayed. And there he was, washing his battered red pickup. I could feel the hair rise on the back of my neck. This wasn't going to be easy.
Hi, Charlie. Talk to you a minute?
No way. I've had it with lawyers.
Were you over on Granville Island earlier today? Lunchtime?
Why would a guy like me be hanging around a yuppie place like that?
Were you?
Get out of my face, lady. What's going on, Flynn?
Hit and run. Sam's in the hospital. We're not sure he'll make it.
A witness saw your truck.
I'll handle it, Willie. Get back in the car.
My God, you're trying to lay a murder rap on
me. No, I'm not. You just have to prove you weren't there.
But I was there. After I went to your office, I checked on a job with one of the boat shops. But I never saw Sam Green.
Then tell the police.
Get out of my way.
Put away the knife, Charlie.
I know a setup when I see one. All my life, I've got the short end of the stick. But not this time. If the cops want me, they'll have to catch me!
Now we call the police?
I contacted Bob, my detective friend, from a payphone. Then we drove back to the hospital and waited. It was a long night. There was something special between Sam and me. Acceptance without conditions, I guess that was at the heart of it. About 8 the next morning, Sam was still unconscious. Willie decided to go over to the house for a change of clothes. I tagged along.
What's wrong?
The door. It's been forced.
Oh, my God.
Well, whoever trashed the place did a thorough job. File cabinets were emptied onto the floor, desk drawers dumped, papers everywhere. Worst of all, Willie's beloved laptop and printer were crushed as flat as recycled tin cans in a blue box. It was a relief, in a way, seeing her moan over the remains of her computer. Somehow she didn't seem like a master criminal.
Oh, my computer. Why would Charlie come back and do this when he knew the police were after him?
He wouldn't. Whoever did this was looking for something. Something they didn't find.
Well, how do you know?
Well, they were still trying to break the storage closet when something startled them, see? The door splintered, but still closed. And they dropped the crowbar. I never understood why Sam kept the storage closet locked. It was filled with worthless junk. Cartons of defunct files, boring court transcripts, souvenirs he never looked at. Even a pack rat would have chucked 90% of it.
Well, what were they looking for?
I don't know yet. Maybe it has something to do with Sam's hit and run.
Oh, now where's the phone? Where is it? Where's that damn... Hello? Yes, I'm his niece. Oh, that's wonderful. I'll be right there.
Who was it?
The hospital. Uncle Sam's regained consciousness. Come on, I'll drive.
Yeah, hang on. I'll be finished here.
I can't wait. See you later. Oh, he's been moved into a private room. 411.
She hadn't been gone long when I was second-guessing myself. Why in hell waste my time digging through boxes of old files? Sam was the guy with the answers. I was just turning to leave when I caught sight of the gray metal strongbox. It was secured with a small combination lock. I decided to take it with me. I could hang it on the handlebars of my bike. You awake, Sam?
Oh, no, Flynn.
Yeah. How are you?
Oh, as compared to what? An old man who wasn't run over.
Yeah. Well, you gave us quite a scare. Where's Willie?
Oh, she had a phone call. Oh. I had a private phone, private room. What's all this costing?
She told you about the break-in?
Yeah. What's going on?
Well, maybe it was the guy who hit you. See who it was?
No. Oh, it blindsided me. I never saw a thing. Oh, what are you doing with my strongbox?
Could this be what they were after?
No. Just personal papers. I haven't opened this in years. You see. No family fortune.
What's this?
Title of my house.
Those developers after you to sell again?
No, not lately. Anyway, why steal this? I can get another one from the land titles office. Oh, God, this stuff goes back a long way.
This guy in the army uniform. Is that you?
Yeah, Korean War. I spent a few months with a judge advocate's office, court-martials, marriages, that sort of thing. Hey, wait a minute.
What?
Well, this newspaper clipping. Now I remember. Now he's changed, balding, the beard. Captain Edward Thorpe.
You've lost me, Sam.
Well, this is the man I ran into on the wharf, the man who just called Willie, said he had the lead on the hit and run. Captain Edward Thorpe, Korea. That guy's a murderer.
What?
Doctor, hurry now. There's no telling what he'll do to her.
I had just one chance in a million to intercept Willie before she left the hospital parking area. I ran down four flights of stairs, bolted by a batch of patients smoking just outside the entrance, and took off down the street. As I approached the parking area, I heard the sweetest sound I'd ever heard.
Willie, stop!
Flynn? Oh, thank goodness. This damn car, it won't start.
Willie, Sam remembers.
Remembers what? Well, come on, Flynn, I've got an important meeting.
Fitzgerald, he's a murderer. I think Sam knew him in Korea.
But he was trying to help me.
Where were you supposed to meet him?
The pub at Bridges. He spotted the pickup he'd seen earlier. The driver went inside.
The pub at Bridges? Yeah. They don't open till noon.
A trap? Well, what good would it do if he grabbed me? Flynn, why are you looking at me like
that?
How
did he know you were in Sam?
Oh, my God. He saw me go into Sam's room. That's the only way he'd know. Oh, he's here.
And he's after Sam.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Yeah.
We took off out of there like a couple of alley cats with cans tied to our tails. Willie had no trouble keeping up. I was impressed.
Come on, Flynn. You're lagging.
Well, I didn't want to show her up. As we reached Sam's room, the corridor was empty, and the large, heavy door was closed. I pushed it open.
Flynn! He's got Sam!
Thorpe was smothering Sam's face in a pillow. Despite his frantic attempts to fend off his attacker, the old man was fighting a losing battle. I lifted the Englishman off Sam's chest and slam dunked him hard into a bedside chair.
Sam, you all right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure, I'm okay. You're in deep trouble, Thorpe.
Let the police take care of it, Flynn. This man is officially dead.
Officially dead?
Yeah. I was prosecutor at Thorpe's court-martial for the murder of a Korean civilian. In the middle of the trial, the Chinese overran Seoul, and in all the confusion, Thorpe was reported killed.
What are the odds? 40 years living in California under an assumed name. This was my first trip out of the country.
A chance encounter with a man who could destroy his world. Captain Thorpe, a.k.a. Gavin Fitzgerald, was right. The odds against were bigger than the lottery. Call it a wild coincidence or just unfinished business. It happened. And once there was a chance of Sam remembering, Gavin felt he had to close the book on the past forever. Luckily, we found out in time to stop him. As for my mistaken suspicions about Willie, I'd have to find some way to make it up to her. Then again, maybe I'll just keep the whole thing to myself.
You've just heard Flynn, Part 1, Overdue Account, written by Lyle and Barbara Brown. Featured in the cast were Boyd Norman as Flynn, with Colleen Winton as WP, and Robert Cloutier as Sam. Special guests this week were Sam Bob, Peter Howard, Eric Schneider, and Kara Anderson. Music for Flynn is composed by Alan Cranny, and the series script consultant is James W. Nickel. The recording engineers this week were Gene Loverock and Chris Cutteris, with sound effects by Chris Cutteris and Joe Silva. The production assistants were Dagmar Kafanka and Loretta Joyce. Flynn is produced and directed in Vancouver's Studio 3 by Don Kowalczyk. The series executive producer is Bill Howell.